This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2019, held in Montgomery, Indiana, on March 1 and 2.
Yeah, like I repeated, this workshop is about developing high school scope and sequence. Now, I'm not sure how qualified I am to tell you about scope and sequence when you think about curriculum. Jonas mentioned the curriculum, and I cringed when he said that I'm going to tell you about curriculum. So I make a disclaimer right from the start. I teach here at this school. This is our school. It's an honor to have you all here and to host the CASB. And I'll just give you a little history of our setting here. Our school has been going for a number of years, and in the past 20 years, here's a handout. Here, get one. And in the past 20 years, we've started high school 3 times, and we've never finished one complete year yet. So my database is more to tell you about the Hall of Shame than the Hall of Fame. Now again, you have the option to leave if you care.
I hear it.
My theme verse is from Proverbs, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That's the theme. Well, just let me tell you about it. A year ago, we again started seriously talking about high school. We got the request. We want high school. And despite the other two failures, we again tackled high school. We offer 9th and 10th. But to protect us, to save face, so this doesn't happen again, a failure, we said we're only giving 10th. In fall of 18, and then the fall of 19 will offer only 9th, sorry. And then fall of 19 will give 9th and 10th, and that's it. I'll tell you why here just a little bit after. I gave you a handout there of just a little bit to follow along so that I don't get you lost in the class here. I have made 3 points that we have endeavored to pursue this year so it's not a failure. Now, I don't know, it might still fail. We have, just this past month, we have faced some pretty turbulent waters. Yeah, I was involved in starting the high school there at Cayo Belize back about 20 years ago, 15. And that high school was more of a hands-on thing. There was lots of students that came there that had no experience of working with their hands. More of a vocational style high school. They would go to school in the morning, and in the afternoon, we would do things with our hands. We don't have that here. Sometimes, though, because of the home settings that our students are coming from, we need to equip them to go to the workplace that they're going to need skills, hand skills. I'll talk about that maybe a little bit later. First one that I put down for you to consider is the curriculum should mesh with your grade school. Connect with the school that you already have. I'm convinced that the first time that high school failed for us was that we completely, totally changed the curriculum from where we were. Jonas, do you have any extra handouts there?
Yes. Rick, I got a couple handouts for you.
No, I don't. Just one left. We totally changed the curriculum from what we had in the grade school. They came into high school. It was a whole different publisher. Please don't do that. I think that was the number one reason that it failed. It was a total different ball. They didn't know how to handle it. If you need a scope and sequence, Rotten Staff has these down here and they're free. You know what? This is connected exactly with what they've had. High school, it just falls in mesh with grade school. I know that was one of our failures. I'll give you an example. This year, and I'm not promoting any curriculum here, okay, please. Whatever curriculum you're using in your school, it's the best. Well, I think so. We have used a certain curriculum in math. This year, when they come into high school, we change curriculum. And I am teaching Algebra 1. My students had zero experience with algebra. They didn't have pre-algebra. They had nothing. I'm not faulting the curriculum previous. I'm not faulting the curriculum that I'm teaching now. I'm faulting the connection. There is no connection. And I have a good group of students as far as intelligence. There was 8 in school in 8th grade, and only 4 came to high school. Now, we did pick up another homeschool, a family from homeschooling, so we have 5 ninth graders. They have worked hard at algebra, almost to the point that they don't like it. And I'm no algebra whiz, okay? But I enjoy the thinking, the development of thought that has to go into an algebra problem. And they're almost despising it. It's not their fault. It's our fault. That's my number one point. Connect it with your grade school. Do one of the two. Either match the grade school, change your grade school to match the high school, or match the high school with the grade school, if I can say it correctly. And we have taken care of that problem because we are changing, okay? Our next year students will have had pre-algebra. Schedule the school year together. Don't run a different ship. High school students are not up here, and grade school students are down here. Down here. Mm-hmm. You look down on them. Don't do that. That's part of our failure the first year. We try to separate them. And don't ask me to explain all these concepts, okay? Because I can't today. Looking back, they seem weird. But we tried to connect, have a high school here and a grade school here, and they shouldn't intermingle. No, don't do that. Matter of fact is, if you're afraid that they're going to influence your students, look at it this way. They're going to influence your younger grade students positively rather than negatively. Maybe a little unrealistic, but take it from that standpoint. The second point I have is connect it with your community culture. And I'm going to tread real softly here because I've got some people from our community sitting here in the audience, so I will be careful. Let me start here. We live in the Bible Belt. Indiana's in part of the Bible Belt, and we're proud of it. We're not from out east. Sorry, Jonas. That's a great place out there, okay? But we live in the Bible Belt. Our worldview is different. On top of that, our community is precisely Amish. And again, we're proud of that. But those of you that are Mennonite, you're proud of that too, I hope. But it's a different world. Matter of fact is, it's like this. I've associated with the Mennonites over the years. I've kind of fluctuated in and out, back and forth. And they're great people. I've learned a lot. But did you know that the Amish, you should button your coats. The bottom two should be buttoned. This is our Amish culture. This is the way. This is the way it should be. No way. If you're a Mennonite, you button the top one. And if the more, they tell me, the more staunch you are, the more you button. And I was dean at a Mennonite Bible school for a number of years, and every time we got up front for a program, we buttoned the top two. Had to have the top two button. Is it wrong? No. It's the way you look at things. Both have a place, okay? That is, if you're cold. Our community views education in a certain way. And if you're familiar with the Amish view, you already got a pretty good picture of where we stand. I'm not being critical of it. But your community is going to view it different. And I'm not critical of that either. Connect your high school with the culture. We have strong family ties here. Strong. Extremely strong. Family ties carry above church ties. I'm not going to elaborate on that. I'm not going to make a yay or nay statement there, but I'm just telling you about how that impacts. And really, really, the bottom line is our worldview. Okay? Our worldviews are different from community to community. Let me just talk about this just a little bit to tell you. Now, please don't laugh again, okay? And those of you that are from my community will know what I'm talking about. But we put out a questionnaire a year ago, and we said, we want to do this right. And I hand it to our board, okay? Our board did extremely a lot of hard work. One of them was a questionnaire to our school patrons, not just our church, but our school patrons. What do you want in a high school so that we know how to develop a high school? Okay, one of the questions was, and they were to rate the questions in from 1 to 5, with 1 being not necessary, 5 being high. Don't laugh. But when the question was asked, is it a value? Would you want your student to have a diploma? Nobody rated that one of any value. Matter of fact, the average was 2. It was not valuable for the parents to have a diploma. Don't laugh. It's just the way it was. The next question was, that even went lower, do you see high school as important to go to college? And that was 0. I mean, 1. Nobody saw high school. Nobody thought it. Now, you remember, we're in the Bible Belt. We're Amish culture. We have a worldview. Develop your high school accordingly to that. Now, when we ask the question, do you want high school for further education, do you want high school to develop practical ways of writing and speaking? And that one hit top. That told us something. Do you want it to be a constructive way for young people to be occupied? That one hit top too. Okay. Our high school needs to be something constructive for young people to do. To develop critical thinking. That one hit top as well. It was important that we teach critical thinking. When that diploma one come in rating so low that it wasn't of any value to have a diploma, My first impression was we don't even have a fighting chance. But when I saw some of these others, to advance in musical skills was fairly high. To develop the discipline of study was high. I said, we have people here that view education that need high school. Let's give it a try. And the board said that, not me, but our school said that. That brings me to the next one, is the last one that I have, is connected with your desired goals. What is our goal? So I'm going to back up here again. When we found out that our parents weren't interested in a diploma, a couple were, but most of them weren't, we said 9th and 10th is all we'll offer. Now, maybe in the future we will offer 11th and 12th. We only committed to 9th and 10th. Now, again, remember, we have a record of 2 years of failure. So, cover your bases well. Think about what's being wanted. Can 9th and 10th help develop critical thinking? Can it be a constructive way to occupy them at a young age? Can it advance them in writing and in speaking skills, in music? Yes. So we tailored our high school accordingly. Another question that came in, I didn't talk about this. We only have 4 days of high school, 4 days a week. Because parents said, we want our children to be able to be at home one day to do little jobs around the house, to help dad or go to work with dad, or to have a break. I wasn't sure. Matter of fact is they asked for only a three-day high school. Some of them. Not all of them. No. We talked to different CLE reps. We talked to different people. And no, we couldn't feel comfortable in doing that. There's sometimes you see... You have to use common sense. Can you do 3 days work, what needs to be done, in 5 days? Well, I guess if you would work, 12-hour days would get you close. Get your 40-hour week in. So why do you expect students? Why do you expect school students to do 5 days work in three? So we kind of said, well, we'll do a four-day week, and then we will sign work on Friday, and if they want to goof off all day on Friday, well, then maybe Saturday they'll work and get their homework done. So that's the way it is operating. Connect it with your desired goal. We only have a goal of 9th and 10th. Parents want the freedom to have their children around the house, so we only have a four-day a week. It's the parents, it's our goal here is to help students to think and to think well. That was a requirement. That was a thing. So we developed in our school, we want them to understand the bigger picture. So we're putting a lot of emphasis on language, on literature. If you're going to think, you're going to have to understand your language, your culture, your literature, however you want to say it. Another thing that we found that in developing a high school that it was very important to help the child transcend from the grade school to the youth group, to adult, however you want to class it. Parents wanted something after they get out of 8th grade, something to transcend smoother into adulthood. Okay? So I think that was part of the push of the four-day high school, was simply to make it easier for them to go from being in school full-time to being free, to be constructively occupied. I think I'm going to just go down to the points for discussion. I'll just open it up. Like I told you, I have no data. I have no track record to say that this is a success. I'd like to hear from you. I'm sure there's some of you here that's got high school. You give feedback. You ask questions. I don't have the answer, but I'm sure someone can here. Jonas will help us out. Points of discussion is talk about who's going to teach. One time that our high school failed, I'm pretty sure, because it wasn't a teacher. Don't look at me like that. They were going from a conventional school setting to a self-paced high school. So there was no teacher. Don't try. We tried and it didn't work. So who's going to teach? And I'll just tell you, that was an issue for us. Who's going to teach? Only ninth grade? How would we do that? How would we incorporate it? Our seventh and eighth grade teacher, Mr. Milton, is teaching one subject. He's teaching science. I am teaching algebra. I am also overseeing Bible and history. And another young man, I don't see him, Mr. Schrock, he is teaching literature and language. So we have basically three of us teach part-time, which makes a full-time schedule for the students. And we have really liked it, or those of us that have taught, we like the freedom, and our school board has liked it as well. Matter of fact, it's talk of this year. We don't have our full set up for this coming fall, but our full team, if it is the way we want it, we hope to do more classes than just high school that way, have some subject teaching for maybe grade 7 through 10 next year, because we liked it so well. What do you say about that? Who's going to teach? Jonas, you've taught high school, haven't you?
Yes, it does. The teacher has a huge influence just on who you are relating to those students. And the older students especially, it's important for them to have other people in their lives besides parents to relate to, and particularly some men. Mm-hmm. And if you can use, it's harder, the higher the level you get, the harder it is for one teacher to do well on a variety of subjects. Simply the nature of it, you're not, people who are really strong in history are not usually good math teachers, or vice versa. So if you can get, and here's where, if the people are available in your community somehow, if they can be scheduled, it can really work great to have a person teaching just a subject or two, like you're pointing out here, so that way the students have different teachers and they're teaching to their strengths.
Okay. Anybody else want to make a comment?
We've done high school for 20 years or something like that. I think one of the most important things is that we're going to put an 18-year-old in high school.
Okay.
25-year-old even could maybe, but there's something about older men in there, at least 30-year-olds. That seems to influence the 17-year-olds in a real positive manner.
Thank you. We need you up here to talk. Yeah.
Someone else got something else, or do you want to say more?
You mentioned one other problem. You mentioned the disconnect or whatever between your lower grades and your high school. We have fought that for as long as I can remember. I'm not sure what it is. Our high school starts at grade 9. Seventh and eighth grade are in one room. The high school's from there on up. And there is, every year, there is some contention between the boys, especially the boys, in the high school room and the seventh grade room. And even if they were the same group together last year, split, now they're the big dog. We seem to fight that every year somewhat. Some years it's a lot worse than others. Some years it's very minimal. Uh-huh. But it's there. I'm not sure what we're doing wrong.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I'm not sure you're doing anything wrong. It's called human nature.
Yes.
Just one idea there. It is, it's entirely possible that children, all of a sudden, they're the little kids, and that's very unhealthy. There are a number of schools have worked at creating groups. They take the whole school from grades 1 through however high the grades are. And if you have 16 students, let's say, total, suppose you have 16 students, they'll divide them in maybe four groups of four. In our school, then, there's about 45 students. We have high school, but the oldest four students are the group leaders. And the teachers make up these groups. And so if you would have, from whatever your highest grade is, if you had grade 10, there would be a 10th grader would be the group leader. And then there would be maybe somebody else from out of 7th and 8th, somebody from 5th and 6th, somebody from 1st and 2nd. And once these groups are established, you use them in a variety of ways. For example, when we have all school devotions, when the speaker comes in to have devotions, the students carry their chairs into the big room, and the oldest ones go first and sit their chairs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then the next ones in are the first and second graders. And they come and sit, the first grader or second grader sits beside the group leader on one side, the next older one sits on the other side. So you end up, for devotions, you have this leader sitting in the middle with the first grader or second on one side, and the other from the other side, and that's just how they sit. And this automatically makes the older student, the group leader, the person who's being looked up to by these little children. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to first or second grade, it means holding the songbook and pointing out the words to them. On the playground, when you have all school recess, why, if you do group games, you have ready-made teams. So if you're going to play four baseball, you have four teams right away to set with. If you're playing prisoners baseball, you can just automatically say groups 1 and 3 here, groups 2 and 4 there. And the older children can help the younger ones learn how to play a new game. And if you sit down for hot lunch, anytime there's a group activity, you can use those groups. And then if you say you go on a field trip, you want to decide how to sit in the van, it might only be grades 1 through 6, maybe go and the older term block. Well, in that case, then you can still use the groups. But it provides numerous opportunities throughout the year for the older ones to be a leader, and they have somebody looking up to them, and it helps to work towards that, more of that family feeling in the school, rather than this stratified, it cuts down on that us and them spirit. That's just an idea that can be adapted and it can work very well.
So Jonas, these groups would be for a whole year. You would set them in the beginning of the year and then they would stick together the whole year.
The groups are made out and they stay that way for the year.
So you don't have anything, my group against your group, and this little bickering back and forth of any time, cliquish?
Not really, because all the groups cut across the lines. Uh-huh. They all have first and second, uh-huh, and so on. It's a mixed age group, and they aren't that big.
Right.
Bigger schools have used it. They don't get the group to any larger than 5. Or at the very most 6 in a group, even in a large school. Uh-huh. You just have more groups.
Uh-huh. I like that, because when we go in to sit down for, for the morning session, first grade sets the front, yeah, and second grade, and then you know the, yeah, story.
Right. We use that system, as Jonas described it. The teachers will, we teachers plan who will be on which team, and we sort of try to plan that students who tend to not be as connected outside of school or try to plan so they get to know each other. Helps to build up sort of a relationship that they otherwise never would get in the school or outside of the school even. The one thing that we do notice, though, is that the thing that suffers is the singing at chapel, because the boys, if your boys would like to sing, they can sing bass, or even tenor, and you have little guys in there. If you don't have those big guys together, sort of alone. The singing suffers. So what we do is every other week, we'll change off. Like, well, 1 week we'll have the groups, and then the following week followed by grade.
Okay, thank you. Is there any more discussion on that part? Okay, let me talk about, let me give you another point for discussion. When you're thinking about high school, now, if you're from a small community, you don't face this. One of the things that we face is we're from a large community. Who's going to participate? Are you going to allow other schools to come to your high school? We have a number of other schools in our community, lots of Amish schools, which they would not come to high school. They wouldn't be of interest. But we have some homeschoolers, some scenarios like that. We have one student that this year in ninth grade, he never came to our school until this year. So think about that. When you think about meshing with curriculum, then you have to think about meshing with students. And how do you find them? Is that something you want or you don't want? We made a requirement that they must come to eighth grade to be able to go into high school. And then we made an exception.
That's the Amish mentality.
I didn't know where that came from.
We can always make an exception. Always.
Let me finish. It's not been without lots of regret. Don't expect to, if you live in this community and you homeschool or you send your children to another school, and don't expect to try to send them here in ninth grade next year. I know what the board will tell you. It didn't work. It didn't work. Mm-hmm. He was on a different level. Yes.
When you say it didn't work, and you mentioned failure multiple times, where did it break? What did that failure look like? Like they just dropped out, and a few months into it, they just went home? Or?
Yeah, but the first time we tried it was about 20 years ago. It was in 2002. And we never attempted again until 2015.
What happened back then?
Well, I don't know. I wasn't involved.
Details, but yeah. Did it just mean like they didn't graduate?
No, they started out, and by Christmas time, they stopped coming.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
And I don't even know all the details. I was not involved in the school. I was actually teaching in Belize at the time. And so I just kind of got asked all kinds of questions by very disgruntled parents, okay? Sorry, very disgruntled. Because here we were going to have high school and they were looking forward to this, and then it failed. A lot of finger pointing. I don't understand all the things. Yeah.
So was it the parents that were kind of like confronted with, oh, we didn't know it was going to entail all this, so they pulled them out?
No. They wanted them to come, but there was just no structure. The school was not able to take it on.
Was that the, you'd started out strictly individualized,
teacher. No teacher.
Right, and the students had been used to
conventional
classroom. And set. The teamwork, the classes, the discussions, actually it's more
control. The control part.
Yeah, the control part. And it's also a little more social.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
We did the very same thing in our school.
Okay.
We did from eighth grade in the teaching setting, and going to high school was mostly conventional.
Okay.
But it takes a man in there.
Okay. Well, we are doing what CLE recommended for a hybrid, what they call a hybrid setting. And that is partially taught, partially conventional, and partially self-paced. So Bible and math, I only assign the subjects, oversee that they get done, and record the test grades and all like that. But I do not teach a class in Bible and history. Now, we are probably going to change that next year. We'd like to teach a Bible class. But we're hoping to pull someone from our congregation, from our community, to come in and teach a Bible class.
Mm-hmm. I discovered that in high school, using at least some of the courses as self-taught gives a lot more variety, especially when you get into 11th and 12th grade. You have students that say, well, I'm looking at this direction of life. Do I have something, or do you have something to offer that would help me? Mm-hmm. And then offering some of those electives, and CLE has numerous vocational-based electives that are very good for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So we started high school, I think it was 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, and one of the things that we offered right from the beginning was, we had an academic dean. It was his responsibility to do the scope and sequence for high school. That was kind of his calling.
Okay.
And he did a phenomenal job.
Well, you were blessed.
And that was his, basically he was hired as a career teacher. And so he put an entire program together, but it was somewhat modular and had some flexibility within it. And so we offered parents, they could sit down the year prior, and when you graduated eighth grade, let's plan your high school.
Mm-hmm.
And we offer a cramming version. We're thinking about getting rid of that, or you can do 4 grades in 3 years.
Okay.
Most of our graduates have done that so far, but it's becoming a bit challenging to scale.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're offering them is, we'll sit down and we plan, how many credits do you want to get? Do you want to graduate with?
Mm-hmm.
And put that together. So every year we plan the study hours, the credits, the subjects for that year. And that way the parents and the pupil they are prepared now for what that year is going to look like with all of its challenges. And the teacher is prepared. So everyone's on the same page, and it has helped us execute a smoother year without having so many things that you can halfway through it and just not work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. We still have a few minutes yet. Is there a question someone wants to bring up, something you want to discuss, or you would like more clarity on?
It seems like our community loves the hybrid method. We do teach math.
Mm-hmm.
That's the basic one that we teach. The 3/4 of ours also graduate in 3 years. Some do it in 2 years. And the community seems to like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then some run the entire 4 years. And those are more your social type students that like that. They just like the whole thing, or they don't have a good option of work. If there's, uh-huh. if there's boys in a home where dad works and they don't have a good option of working. And in Pennsylvania, in our school district, they're supposed to be in school because they're 17, unless you can get a work permit somewhere,
mm-hmm.
or off a farm.
Mm-hmm.
Not many of them are on a farm. So it's...
Yeah.
We've had a high school teacher for 9-10 years that kind of developed that. It
mm-hmm.
took time.
Mm-hmm.
But don't stop here. I think we can get there.
Okay. Well, now remember, we're in the Bible Belt. Indiana is very loose on schooling. It's so loose, it's scary. It's scary. We're not required to go to 17th of any means. Yes, Jonas.
That is connecting with your community culture, and you say the legal requirements too. If one of the questions I ask is, if they're not in high school, what are they doing at age 15,
mm-hmm.
16, 17? And I know I talked to one young person too, who said he did an awful lot of four-wheeling and pulling around and sleeping in, and he wasn't allowed to get a job. He didn't have work at home. Mm-hmm. And so, of course, in today's world, if you don't watch it, they're going to be in a virtual world. And so a question he has is, what's going to happen in their life mm-hmm. in those couple of years if they can't get a job and their parents don't have work for them and they're left on their own?
That's a good point, Jonas. I actually think that was some of the stronger push for us to have high school was parents were not, dad is no longer working at home that he can employ the boys with him at age 14 or 15. And so mom is trying to entertain these 15-year-olds. And they said they're not ready to get out of school yet. Why not constructively have something for them to do? I think that was a strong push for us.
Yeah, the big picture question is, what are our 15, 16, 17-year-olds going to do, and how is the church community going to work with them before they can be legally employed? Mm-hmm. What's the big picture? Hope school is part of that. Youth group is part of it, but what's the part that the school plays? Mm-hmm.
Thank you for that. We just have 1 or 2 minutes yet, so yes.
Question, you mentioned about assigning work on the Fridays when the students aren't at school.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work out? Are they pretty conscientious in getting that work done by Monday morning?
All of them except one. It has worked fairly well for us. Yes, it has. I have, in my part that I've been doing, and the other teachers have done the same, they have tried to structure their classes so that Friday is an easier day, okay? If my favorite idea is to be able to have a study day or a quiz or something for Friday. That's my favorite way of doing it. It doesn't always come out that way. Sometimes I'll teach 2 lessons on Thursday and say, yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't like it to start with. I really didn't like it. And now that we are 3/4 of the way through the year, I kind of like it. I know they like it.
So even taking that extra homework home, mm-hmm. They still just like that little more freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. And some of them work extremely hard the 4 days they're here, so they don't have it.
Oh yeah.
And nobody looks over your shoulders and say that they're supposed to be in school so many hours a year.
No. Just about.
I told you we was in the Bible Belt. Yeah, I don't want to go there for about the laws of Indiana, but they're very loose. Very loose. Too loose. You got 1 minute.
I think the most important thing my children learned in high school was that their teacher cared about their soul. He spent a lot of time in discussions, in Bible discussions. He didn't do a whole lot of strict Bible teaching, such as going through a curriculum. They had discussion time every day. Mm-hmm. And those 15, 16-year-olds would ask questions that made him scratch his head. They listen to him, and he formed some real convictions in their lives in those years. Mm-hmm. And so, I would just want to encourage, don't get too hung up on your academics if you can establish a relationship with them at least, mm-hmm. and get through your goals with your friends.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
If you want to brush up on your own convictions, teach high school Bible class.
Anybody else? Well, you're dismissed, and thank you for your attention.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.